So tonight we're talking about fasting from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. So first, the definition of what fasting is. But actually, before we get there, could I get someone to read, just so we can start to be thinking about it in our minds, all three verses, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Reuben, can I put you on the spot?
I can do that. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance, so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they will have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
All right, thank you. So, if someone were to ask you, how would you define fasting? What would you say? What would be a definition you would give of what is fasting? We can have a little bit of interaction tonight. Definition of fasting. You would define it as
going without food for some period of time.
Okay? Abstaining from food or even drink for a set amount of time. It is a good definition of fasting. It's interesting, if you type the word fasting in on Google and hit enter, you'll find that lots of people fast. Muslims fast, Buddhists fast, Hindus fast, Jews fast, Catholics fast, even some cultures fast. I read about, there's a town in Switzerland, I think it's actually Geneva, that has an annual festival, and part of that festival is that they're fasting. They abstain from food. And so we see that people fast, a lot of different people fast, and a lot of people do it for a lot of different reasons. But when we're talking tonight about biblical fasting, what we have just read about here in verses 16 through 18, biblical fasting is when a Christian chooses to abstain from food for the purpose of growing closer to the Lord as we seek to know and follow His will. That's what biblical fasting is. A Christian abstaining from food for a time for the purpose of growing closer to the Lord as we seek to know and follow His will. I think most of us understand this, but just to put this out there, fasting is not some existential experience where you discover more about yourself and who you are as a person. Nor is fasting performed by a Christian in an effort to twist God's arm, to make Him do what you want Him to do. That's not the idea of fasting. Instead, biblical fasting is the idea of having spiritual devotion, consecrated spiritual devotion. It's an exercise of self-control for the purpose of knowing God more through His Word and prayer. Biblical fasting has God as the focus, not ourselves. And so what we do is we set aside our own needs, our own desires, food, right, and focus completely on God as we seek His will and direction. Dr. Wiersbe has said, fasting helps to discipline the appetites of the body and keep our spiritual priorities straight. Keep your finger here in Matthew chapter 6 and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Some would argue that this is maybe the second reference to fasting. Fasting is mentioned numerous times throughout the Bible. We don't have time to look at all of them tonight. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, the word fasting is not used in verse 3. There seems to be at least the idea of it when we understand what biblical fasting is. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Jeremiah, can I get you to read that one for us? Nice and loud.
So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord.
Okay, and so notice at the beginning, He humbled you and let you be hungry. Okay, so if you will, this was a prescribed fast by God for the nation of Israel. Why did God do that? Well, God wanted the nation of Israel to understand that the relationship with Him was more important than their physical food. You might remember that that's the passage that Jesus used when He was tempted by the devil. The devil said, "Take those stones and make bread." And Jesus said, "No, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Coming right here from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So we see that biblical fasting is the Christian's desire, to do the will of God and to be more dependent on Him. One man has said, fasting is extremely beneficial for our spiritual growth and our prayer lives. Going without food helps remind us of how much we depend on God for our sustenance and indeed for all things, which helps us to seek Him fervently. So I've just spoken a bunch of words. I hope you were able to catch a couple of them, hang on to a couple of them. And it has either maybe helped to begin to shape your idea, understanding of what biblical fasting is, or maybe it is confirming in your mind what you already knew about what biblical fasting is and what it is not. So the question that we need to consider for a little bit this evening is the question, is fasting required for the Christian? Should Christians fast? Well, the short answer is no, okay? Nowhere in the entire New Testament is fasting commanded. There's not a verse that says, thou shalt fast. There is verses that say, thou shalt pray, not in those words. Praying is commanded numerous times. We're encouraged to study God's Word, okay? But fasting is never commanded. But that doesn't mean that Christians should never fast, okay? If you're back in Matthew chapter 6, notice again what Jesus says there in verse 16. He says, whenever you fast. Verse 17, but you when you fast. And so the implication seems to be that Jesus is anticipating that there will be times in the life of a Christian when they will fast. And so while fasting is not required, there possibly will be times when a person who is seeking after God will fast. As fasting could even happen naturally out of a desire to seek God and longing for Him to be honored with our life. So when those occasions come that we fast, our Lord wants to make sure that we're fasting correctly in a way that is honoring to Him. And so that's the context of what we see here in Matthew chapter 6, this part of the Sermon on the Mount. You'll remember from verse 1, Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Jesus is very clear, we don't do righteous acts to be noticed by God. And He illustrates that. We don't do righteous acts in our giving, verses 2 to 4, nor in our praying, verses 5 to 15, and then in verses 16 through 18, nor do we do righteous acts to be seen by men in our fasting, in verses 16 through 18. So that is the background. Let's walk down through the text, and we'll see, and you probably already saw as Reuben read it, that really verses 17 and 18 are in contrast to verse 16. Verse 16 is what we're not supposed to do. Verses 17 and 18 is what we are supposed to do. And they're in direct contrast. And so notice first in verse 16 how not to fast. Once again, the text says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance. So if you will, the method that is wrong, that you should not employ, is to put on a gloomy face, nor neglect your appearance, okay? That phrase, neglecting your appearance, literally has the idea of destroying your face, okay? One man has described the people that would do this, the hypocrites, as Jesus calls them here, is they would put on old clothes, clothes that were purposefully torn, that were dirty. They would mess up the hair. They would even cover themselves with dirt and ashes. Some people would even take makeup and put it on their face to make themselves look pale or sickly. And they did that for the purpose of being noticed by man. That's why they went to such great lengths to make sure that they looked bad in public. They wanted to demonstrate to all who saw them how spiritual they were. So that was their motive, okay? The method was to neglect their appearance. Their motive, right, was to, so that, you see that there in verse 16, so that they will be noticed by men. They wanted everyone to know that they were exercising great restraint in their fasting, almost to the point of it becoming painful, okay? They wanted men to notice how much effort they were putting forth in their fasting. That was their motive, okay? And notice the result. Their method was bad. They were putting on a gloomy face. They were neglecting their appearance. The motive was wrong. They were doing it for a man. And then notice the result. End of verse 16. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." In other words, they were fasting to be seen by men. Men saw them fast, and thus they received their reward. They got exactly what they were after. But how empty is that? Right? Man's praise is fickle. It usually doesn't amount to much. And so you can see how empty and worthless this kind of fasting was. And the result was meaningless. And that's why Jesus doesn't want us to fast that way. And so he goes on to explain, he contrasts how not to fast in verse 16 with how to fast in verses 17 and 18. And once again, we see the method. You see it there in verse 17. "But you, when you fast," the method, "anoint your head and wash your face." In other words, we're not to have an appearance of fasting. We need to wash, we need to bathe, shower. We have to do the complete opposite of trying to look all dirty and all messed up. We need to look normal, I guess, if I could put it that way. No, understand, we are abstaining from food for a time, but we're not doing it in such a way that it's making it completely obvious to everyone around us. Dr. Wiersbe also has written, "Simply to deprive ourselves of the natural benefit of food in and of itself is not fasting. We must devote ourselves to God and worship Him. See, unless there is devotion of heart, there is no lasting spiritual benefit." And so the method is to abstain from food for the purpose of seeking God through His Word. So that's the method. Notice, secondly, the proper motive. You see it there in verse 18. Jesus says, "So that," here's the motive, "so that your fasting will not be noticed by man." Now, that doesn't mean that we must fast in complete secrecy and disguise so that no one can ever guess that we're fasting. As John Piper has said, if someone finds out you're fasting, you have not sinned, okay? It's possible to fast with other people as well, okay? He makes the distinction, I think it's a good distinction, being seen fasting and fasting to be seen are not the same, okay? Being seen fasting is a mere external event, whereas fasting to be seen is a self-exalting motive of the heart. And the reason that Jesus says this, as he goes on to say, is so that your fasting is not noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. The idea of God being in secret is referencing the fact that God sees, He observes, and knows everything. He sees what is happening in the privacy of our homes. He sees what's happening when we're driving down the road, in the office, wherever we may be. He sees, He knows. But even more importantly than that, He sees, He knows what is happening inside of our hearts. And that's where what is most important. And so God desires for us to be fasting if we're choosing to fast with pure motives, to seek Him and to seek His face. As one man has said, our motive must not be to please God, our motive must be to please God alone, no matter what man may say or do. The most important part of a Christian's life is the part that only God sees. When reputation becomes more important than character, we have become hypocrites. So if we're going to fast, God desires for us to fast for the purpose of aligning our will with His as we are seeking after Him. And so our motive in fasting must be to seek Him and please Him in all that we do. The method, wash up, verse 17. The motive, honor Him. And then finally, notice the result there at the end of verse 18. Jesus says, "And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." God promises that He will reward those who are fasting correctly, in the secret, with the right motives. Who doesn't want to be rewarded by God, right? But the question is, how does that happen? What does that actually look like? How does God reward us? Well, simply put, God rewards us by drawing us closer to Himself, by responding graciously to our requests as we are seeking Him through that fasting, through prayer. Now, that doesn't mean that He's always going to answer our prayers the way that we necessarily desire in our human, sinful desires. But through that fasting experience, the goal is our heart will be drawn closer to God, which enables us to trust Him more with the outcome, kind of like we talked about on Sunday. And so then the question becomes, do you long to grow closer to God? Do you long for God's will to be accomplished in your life and the lives of those around you? Do you want the Father's reward? So I think the question is, that we're asking, is why should a person fast? And we've seen that we fast in order to align our will with God's will. God never changes, but you and I, we're human, we change all the time. And so we need to continue to anchor our souls to Him. So when there comes a time in your life when you have a need to fast for the purpose of drawing closer to God and seeking His will, I trust when that moment comes, you'll have the tools that you need as you remember what Jesus teaches us here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, making sure that we have the right method, the right motive, so that we can get the right result as well. So that, verse 18, verse 18, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So just a couple thoughts to share with you this evening as we think about this idea of fasting.